the Reserve Bank kept the repo rate, that is the rate at which the central bank lends to commercial banks, unchanged at 6.5%. That therefore means that the prime rate, the rate at which commercial banks lend to consumers, remains unchanged at 10%. This was in line with market expectations, but the Reserve Bank says the low point of inflation is now a thing of the past and inflation threats continue to lurk on the horizons. Well, to share her understanding of the decision and to talk about the economics around it, I'm joined by Annabel Bishop. She's group economist at Investec. Thanks very much for joining us, Annabel. Do you think the bank made the right call?
Oh, definitely. You know, I think we've certainly seen inflation coming out lower than expected this year. And of course, they did obviously lower their inflation forecast for this year, increasing in the next few years. But of course, the economy is so very weak at the moment. And we saw that the first quarter, the data coming out for the second quarter, poor corporate earnings numbers as well. You know, the bottom line essentially is it would be a very difficult environment for them to hike interest rates at the moment.
And then interesting that the governor raised the trade war between the US and China and global oil prices as possible threats to the inflation outlook. Your thoughts there?
Look, you know, certainly the risk or the worry is that if there's a proper trade war and it's, you know, fully engaged in, then prices do tend to go up globally, you know, in the US as well as everywhere else. And everyone is typically affected. And of course, that would have upward pressure on inflation. But of course, more than that, it's likely to reduce GDP growth in the United States, which in turn sparks risk on. Then, of course, you see currency weakness, again feeding back into South Africa with higher inflation. So, you know, that is one of the risks I'm sure they're monitoring quite closely. And that's obviously, you know, the reason he mentioned it.
This trade war situation, it reminds me of the subprime crisis where people were kind of getting themselves familiar with the concept because it was a new idea. The trade war concept is also a new idea. At what point is there really a trade war? Because I thought there's already been a tit for tat that's happened.
Look, I think at the moment you're having an escalation in trade tensions, but perhaps, you know, that the feeling is an out and out trade war is really one where, you know, both countries or more than two countries exert such onerous tariffs that they actually start to see a deterioration in their growth. And of course, you know, that really sparks higher prices globally. And you have a proper war going on, you know, where it actually becomes quite acrimonious. At the moment, I think it's more political. And it's certainly been sparking a lot of volatility in the markets, as of course has the unpredictable policies and politics of the US.
Mm-hmm. And then despite inflation threats on the horizon, like what we've just discussed, do you expect, or did the Reserve Bank speak to what it expects in terms of remaining within the 3-6% target band?
Look, certainly this year I expect it, and over most of the forecast period I expect it as well. But that said, there will be a few months, or, you know, even a period of a couple of months when it does jump out of target. And obviously, you know, the risks coming through is, do we see, you know, some things like a further consumer tax increase next year, which pushes up prices further, so renewed rand weakness? Those are all the threats. You know, our expectation is for gradual normalization of monetary policy in the United States, which in turn does not spark excessive risk off. You know, we could obviously have patchy periods. So our expectation is that over most of the period, it certainly will remain in target.
So yesterday we had the CPI number, consumer price inflation number, come out. And surprisingly, that food inflation number still looks quite benign. It's something like 3.1%. Is that a factor of better agricultural output? And what's your prognosis for food inflation going forward?
Certainly, you know, that's exactly what's happening. You know, good crops, better than expected. Meat prices coming off as well. I think the bottom line is we'll beat price inflation. I think the bottom line certainly is that, you know, this has obviously what's really kept inflation under control this year, despite the substantial currency weakness and indeed the VAT increases and other significant factors as well. We do think that this will roll out into the third quarter as well. But I think at some point, you know, we probably are going to wear out this positive effect, certainly when we get onto a year-on-year comparison. But, you know, the point really is that food price inflation is the biggest component of CPI. And, you know, if it does continue to stay modest like this, it certainly could cause next year's inflation figures to come out lower than expected as well. But again, it depends very much on the weather, and that's not something I forecast.
Just as well. And then, of course, you touched on growth. It's very depressing that the Reserve Bank decided to cut its growth forecast from 1.7% earlier to 1.2%. That's lower than what we achieved in terms of GDP growth for 2017. Were you surprised by this subtraction?
Not really, because we've dropped our forecast from 1.7 to 1.4, and we feel even that may be a bit strong. And if you have a look at some of the factors that have come out, industrial production, you know, down 8.3% quarter on quarter, CZ adjusted annualized in the first quarter, you know, at risk of being down quite significantly in the second quarter as well. The first 2 months show that it is on the same measure. Again, retail sales also delivering a negative outturn as well for the first 2 months on that basis. So if this trend persists and June proves to be quite a poor month, then unfortunately we could well be at risk of recession, in turn which would obviously lower the GDP outlook or the GDP figure for the year.
And then in terms of, you know, we've got the wider current account deficit, what did the Reserve Bank say about in terms of capital flows? Because, you know, we are an emerging market, and when the world goes into a tiz, they withdraw from markets like our own. Are we still able to be comfortably financed in terms of our deficit by the inflows that are coming in?
Look, I think the Reserve Bank obviously concerned about that, making mention of it. You know, the risk is obviously that we do see a deficit on our financial account this year, which is the other side of the coin to the current account on the balance of payments. But certainly, you know, having a look at that metric itself, you know, one thing to bear in mind certainly is when you get substantial outflows on the financial account, foreigners selling our bonds, our equities, it tends to come through with a lag on actually a lower current account deficit, certainly by the following quarter. And that's because of the fact that you are now sending lower dividends and coupon payments out to foreigners because they're actually holding less of our equities and bonds. So it does eventually tend to self-regulate or self-balance.
All right. Okay. And then lastly, Annabelle, just give us your assessment of what you expect to happen in terms of job creation or job losses for the rest of the year.
We unfortunately are a bit negative because our economic growth forecast we think is at risk, and we could actually see it coming out worse. So we're concerned that unemployment might tick up further, and until we really get to a economic growth rate which reduces unemployment, you know, closer to the 3-5% mark, unfortunately that's really where we're going to sit. You know, even Eskom looking at retrenchments now, you know, great concerns I think for our economy.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Thank you very much for your time, as always, Annabelle Bishop. She's Group Economist at Investec.